3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula! Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it is time for Exfabula Radio on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter with Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney, and we are going to have a couple of stories for you about water this afternoon, and there's a reason for that because...
Ah, way to lob that at me. So on February 21st, our next Story Slam is happening, and the theme, of course, is water. So we're going to be looking for all sorts of personal accounts, five-minute real, true personal stories based on people's experience with water. Our very first Story Slam at Lakefront Brewery.
Exciting. That's a cool place.
It really is. Yeah. And in fact, I'm hoping that a couple of the tour guides, they put their names in the hat for a couple. I'm sure they've got many stories. Yeah. Those spark plugs, those LFB tour guides. Yeah.
And you have a pretty exciting collaboration with this
This is
really interesting.
Yeah, it really, really is. So we are partnering not only with Lakefront Brewery, but our event sponsors, Reflow Sustainable Water Solutions, the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program, also known as NOAA, and UWC Grant, and of course, our season partners, we love them so, Wisconsin Humanities Council, is a very special partnership because we are going to be trying out Reflow's new Water Story Milwaukee Digital Scavenger Hunt app. So we will give you many more details about that at the event, because what it is that you download this app and it's going to reveal water stories hidden in plain sight throughout Milwaukee. So you will gain points for doing it. It's a scavenger hunt. It's super fun. And, of course, it's like you are going to find out why we are called the Global Water Center, Water City, the Freshwater Hub. Hello, Milwaukee. Learn all about it. And you also have the opportunity to drop your own stories in, too. So you can become very much a part of that app. But we'll talk a little bit more about that at the event.
All right.
So let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the stories.
What do we got up first today?
All right. Our first storyteller is Israel De Bruin. Here's his water story when he told one at Foolproof.
So throughout my childhood, I went to this summer camp in northern Wisconsin called Lake Lungern Bible Camp. And I started going there when I was in first grade. And I went every single summer. It was one of the highlights of my year. It was a great place, gorgeous, everything that you think of when you imagine a summer camp. So there was this small lake, it sparkled and had boats and a swimming area and a water slide. There was a soccer field, just an obstacle course, everything you can think of. But one of the best parts were the summer cabins. So some of the cabins were lame. They were winterized. They were posh. They had nice beds. But the awesome cabins were the summer cabins. They had screen walls. They were wood. They were, I think, at least 30 or 40 years old. And so the walls were all screened in. They had blinds that had to be let down at night, and there was just a single light bulb in the center of the ceiling that was the only electricity, and throughout the whole cabin, you could write whatever you wanted on the walls. It was amazing. So I went there every single summer, and when I got to my sophomore year of high school, I was really excited for a great year at camp, because when you get to high school, you start to know some of the people that you've been going there with for your whole life, and the only place you see them is at camp, so it's kind of like your camp family. So I was in this awesome cabin with a whole bunch of people that I had been going to camp with for years, and there were 10 of us. It was a great group. We had an awesome counselor, and one day, during cabin time, one of the kids revealed that they had brought a whole enormous bag of water balloons. Now, this is Bible camp, okay? So the pranks and the hijinks and stuff were fairly tame, but we decided to go nuts with these water balloons. And I do mean nuts. We kind of terrorized the place. So we filled up as many as we could carry and more than that. One of the other kids, I think a different kid, had a water balloon catapult that he had brought. And so we brought it out to different areas of the camp and assaulted people from like 200 yards away. So people were out doing their activities with their cabin groups, and they would get all of a sudden mysterious water balloons being lobbed at them from out of sight. So we hit one group of guys that were our age that were playing football on the ball field, nailed them. It was amazing. They had no recourse because we were so far away. We hit this group of girls that were out lying in the sun. That was awesome. We went after the camp secretary, who was going between the two offices, also awesome. And then there was this other cabin, okay? So all the cabins had names like animals and plants and stuff. We were in Cedar Cabin, and we went after the girls who were in Skylark Cabin. They were playing volleyball, okay? And we went after them last and just destroyed them with water balloons, okay? So the day goes on. There's dinner, there's chapel, and then one of the best parts of camp, the night game. So this is awesome runaround game with the whole camp. Super fun, okay? It ends. We go back to the chapel to find out who won, and then comes this moment in the day that I will never understand as an adult why the camp, the people who ran the camp allowed this to happen, but there was about a 20-minute period where all of the adults had a meeting. And this was when the fun stuff happened, okay? So again, Bible camp, so the guy-girl stuff was pretty limited. There was a guy's side of camp and a girl's side of camp, and you could not cross the line, okay? But if there was any funny stuff that was going to happen, it was during that period. So we come back to our cabin, and on each of our beds are some notes to us signed by Skylark Cabin and some wilted flowers. And then all of our beds are soaking wet. We were really mad, okay? And immediately we're like, we got to get them back, okay? And obviously it was going to be water balloons. But we knew that they were all in their cabin already because this magic window was drawing to a close. But we thought, hey, they're in a summer cabin, screen walls, right? So for the first time, and maybe the only time in my entire history of going to Lake Lungern Bible Camp, I crossed into the girls' cabin area. We filled up those water balloons, and we went tearing through it. And we surrounded it very quickly and just hit every side with probably 30 or 40 water balloons. It was okay, and because these are screens, the water went right through and some of the screens broke. But they got, I think, almost as wet as we did. And so we went back to our cabin and awaited our fate because we knew that this was not going to, you know, go well. And so, of course, the camp director comes to us and says, you know, this is not good. This is not how we conduct ourselves here. And our punishment was that we had to sleep the entire night with our cold bedding. Now, this is early June in northern Wisconsin, so it's like 40 degrees at night. To this day, in that cabin, scrawled on the wall is coldest night and the names of all of us beneath it that spent that. And whenever we see one another, we will refer to coldest night. And now, the counselor of Skylark Cabin was super mad at me, but it turns out she can't have been too mad because I wound up marrying her, and she's right back there. Thank you.
That was Israel De Bruin's story regarding water balloons. Summer camp.
I have never been to summer camp, but I have been in water balloon fights in my life, several of them, and it's a lot of fun.
So let's keep moving it along. Our next story is from Alicia Wall. This one is from 2011, our March Story Slam, when the theme was emergency. So let's listen to Alicia's story.
I work as part of one of my jobs as a theatrical technician, and it's kind of a rule, it seems, in theater that if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. At some point, there's just so many things going on, something has to go wrong. Which is one of the reasons why one of my good friends came to the conclusion that God must hate theater people. During the summer of 2009, I was an apprentice technician for the Santa Fe Opera. During this time period, I was the youngest technician out of all 70 apprentices employed at this opera. And let me just paint the picture for you of this place. It is a massive, gorgeous, world-class, open-air opera house on a mesa in the desert surrounded by the Jemez Mountains. The opera season at the Santa Fe Opera begins in early June and goes through late August. Monsoon season in Santa Fe begins in early June and goes through late August. I'm kind of wondering who exactly thought this was a good idea. It was the second performance of the world-class opera, or of the world premiere opera, The Letter, based off of that 1940 Betty Davis movie. This show has our big diva. every opera company has one. The woman who thinks that she is entitled because she is that leading soprano, and everybody just kind of has to do what she says, and, you know. It was a gorgeous night off to the south during the sunset. There's these black clouds rolling in and this amazing light show of lightning. And we just know that it's going to be a really interesting night. As the sun sets, this mist rolls in and it's swirling in the palm trees upstage. And it's gorgeous under this blue light for the crowd coming in. And the first scene happens and it's this big dramatic murder scene, and it's this flashback, and there's wind coming out from the wings from these fans that we have, and it's billowing these curtains out, and it's gorgeous. And the lightning has started in the background, and it's so dramatic. And the wind picks up, and it's overriding our fans and blowing the drapes back into the wings. And we really can't control that. And the leading lady comes off stage, and she is throwing a shit fit. Because we really need to warn her when you start using hazers, because I really get sensitive to it. And we really can't explain to her that we cannot control an act of nature. So as the night progresses, the wind gets worse. We have gale force winds. It's trying to take down the scenery. And there are stage crew members just clinging on for dear life. While on the other side of the stage, there are probably 8 to 10 stage crew members literally piled on top of each other, laying flat on their stomachs, getting dragged, as one of the walls that is supposed to, like, come closed and pin is suddenly getting blown open by the wind tunnel effect that's created with the wind coming between the two walls that are supposed to close together. And all this time, the wind is coming down, and the roof has started leaking. And I don't mean, like, put a bucket under it leaking. I mean, like, you can take a shower in it leaking. This is monsoon season. It's monsoon rain. And one of these torrents has occurred over the only staircase that lets you get to the crossover between the two sides of the stage without being seen by the audience. Which means that now the crew has to try to lead these performers who have no idea where they're going into the underbelly of the theater, underneath through the trap room, and up through. And for some reason, we have to keep showing them this while we're still trying to get this thing closed. Well, finally, we have fought and fought and fought and gotten this stupid wall pinned. And you hear the most dreaded sound at the Santa Fe Opera, and it is this loud crack from the back deck. And followed by many, many different clangs. And we find that the wind has blown one of the tarps and managed to throw the 15 or so 30-pound pig irons across the back deck that were holding it down, covering up some very expensive orchestra equipment. So also during the show, managing to do all of our scene changes, we managed to get all of the stuff reweighted and everything put down. And the show ends, and the rain stops as if God has flipped a switch. And I think the icing on the cake of the whole night was the fact that after all of this, I'm guarding sight lines after the show, making sure that the audience doesn't wander in while changeover is starting to happen. And this little old man comes tottering up to me, and all he says is, "You kids did a brilliant job with the special effects tonight. You should be proud of yourselves."
And that was Alicia Wall's emergency story.
Yes, the theater is no match for Mother Nature. If you stage something outdoors in the summertime, boy, you're taking your chances.
Yeah, and even going to like APT in Madison, you go. And sometimes the weather plays exactly in part with what's going on and on stage, so it can be pretty magical.
And let's review the water story slam that's coming up.
Yes,
we talked about it at the beginning, but let's do a reminder.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, it's going to be really popular, so everybody should probably go to exfabula.org to get your tickets prior to the event, but it's going to be on February 21st. The theme is water, and we are inviting everybody from Milwaukee to partake in this by getting their personal stories together based on that theme.
Lakefront Brewery can accommodate a number of people, but yes. Do get your tickets ahead of time.
Most definitely. Yeah.
All right. Thanks again for coming in and bringing us stories as we do every weekend. And if you want to share these, you can listen again at wuwm.com. We post the stories at our website. So thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.